Through this month of November, we've been talking about Christ's authority, and I think fittingly so, we end this month and this aspect of our study with Christ's authority and the final judgment. Don't stop and think about that for a moment, because it's critically important. I guess nearly every speaker has brought out Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And rightfully so, but what does it mean, all authority has been given to Christ, when he said that? What does it mean by that? Where did Jesus' authority even come from? And what are the limits, if any, of this authority? Now, if you look at John chapter 5 and verse 22, it says there, Jesus says there, in no uncertain terms, for the Father judges no man or no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Well, that ought to satisfy everybody right there when you start talking about Christ's authority in the final judgment. The Father is the one who committed all judgment to the Son. But let's go ahead and look a little bit further. You know, we're very familiar with John chapter 12 and verse 48, aren't we? Where Jesus says, he who rejects me does not receive my words, has one that judges him. What is that, Lord? Jesus says, the word that I've spoken will judge him in that day, or in the last day. Now, what he's saying there is my teachings. That's what we're going to be judged by, the teachings of Christ. But notice verse 49, in direct connection to the judgment that he's talking about. For I have not spoken of my own, or my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. So when we're talking about the authority of Christ, and we're talking about his authority in the judgment, the final judgment, he's telling us here, once again, that came from the Father. Now, let's go ahead and let's move forward in your Bibles a little bit to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll pick up in verse 24, and we'll go through verse 28. But notice here that we're talking about this very idea of the finality of things. He says here in verse 24, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, then comes the end. When he delivers, the idea behind that word delivers, to yield up, to give up the kingdom to the Father, to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He's talking about the Christ must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now continue reading verse 27 with me. For he has put all things under his feet. That is, God the Father has put all things under Christ's feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he, God the Father, who put all things under him, is accepted. In other words, God who gives that authority, if you will, who commits that authority, John 5, verse 22, who gave that to Christ, is the exception to that rule. Then notice verse 28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So you look at this and you begin to get this whole picture that's being put together for us, helping us to understand that Christ, as long as he, as this world stood and stands, maybe I should put it that way, has all authority with, of course, the exception, authority over his own Father who gave him that authority. And then notice, if you will, Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Paul now is in Athens. We remember the scenario here. Paul being in Athens had gone around and he had seen all of these places of worship, these altars there, and all these altars to all sorts of different gods, false gods. And he even came across one that said to the unknown God. And he says, Athenians, this is the one I want to talk to you about. This is the one you don't understand. This is the one you're not worshiping. Let me talk to you about him. And so in verse 31, Paul would proclaim that God the Father, now listen to this, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. God is going to judge, but only in the sense that it's going to be by or through Jesus Christ. Now listen to what else he says. He has given assurance of this. Here's the evidence of this. To all by raising him from the dead. That's how we know positively that it's going to be Christ. He is the one that is talked about by that man whom he has ordained. God ordained that all judgment would go through his son. And if that isn't enough, we have places like Romans 2 and verse 16. Paul would write there, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Understanding that when Paul was saying my gospel, it's not that he was the originator, he wasn't the progenitor of the gospel, but he had accepted and obeyed the gospel. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And last but not least, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, another passage that we know very well, where Paul would write here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or they're bad. So we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All judgment falls into the authority of Christ. In that final judgment, we're going to stand before Christ. We're going to have to give an answer for the life that we live. And notice again what he says, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Whether it's good or bad, we're going to have to give an answer. And I oftentimes think about Ecclesiastes chapter 12 here as well, verses 13 and 14, where Paul also talks about the good and the bad, the evil and that which is not evil. So we have that which we have a great responsibility to, and that is to be obedient to the gospel call of Christ. Here's the question. Have you been obedient to the gospel call? We know what the gospel consists of. It consists of hearing God's word and believing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We understand that we not only must hear it, we not only must believe it, but we must have a heart of a mentality that says, I want to repent of my sins. That means I'm going to take this kind of life, I'm living like this, and I'm going to live like this now. I'm going to walk away from a life of sin, and I'm going to walk toward a life of righteousness in God. That's what it's talking about, 180 degree turn. I always tell people, if you think about it like this, think about it like you're driving down the highway and you're headed toward a bridge that is out. And if you keep going, your car's going to plunge over that bridge, that or over that edge of where you're supposed to have a bridge, and it's going to kill you. But what you do is you turn around and you head back in the safe direction toward God. And so it's not only hear, believe, repent, but also we have to confess. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And finally, we must be obedient to the gospel call in baptism. Why? Because the like figure, baptism also now saves us, Peter would write to his audience. Paul would be told, as he would have it recounted, as he would recount in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized and what? Wash away your sins. We know baptism washes away sins. That's the final step in becoming Christian. And then, of course, we must live a life in faithful service to Him. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, and you know what you needed to do to be saved, the question is, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Have those sins washed away. Maybe it is the case that you are not a child of God, but you're still in the process of trying to formulate and understand and what do I really need to do? I'm trying to work on those things. We have folks here right now that are able to help you. We'll be happy to set up a study with you, time with you, so that you can know what you must do to be saved, if there's any question in your heart about that. And finally, if you are a child of God already, you've been obedient to the gospel call, but you're out of step with God's will, you're not doing what He says to do, you're not living as God would have you to live, and whether it be a private thing or whether it be a public sin, whatever the case may be, and you need the prayers of a congregation of people who love you and care about you and want nothing but the best for you, we ask you now to come forward as we stand and sing this song if we can help out.